My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, week two. Okay. Whew. It is. It's a reminder early in the season how much action is jammed into an NFL Sunday. Goodness, my brain is racing. My mind is all over the place. Good thing I have notes, because all the details would get completely jumbled up if I did not. It's one of the ways that I envy fans, because fans only need to remember or want to remember what's going on with their team, right? Or maybe even their division, the four teams in their division. Or maybe it's fantasy football, so you're focused on the guys that you have in your lineup. I sometimes wish that it was just one game to focus on. Like Monday nights and Thursday nights, those are a little easier. Sundays are all out blitz, all gas, no brakes, and gosh, there's just a lot to keep track of. So thankfully, I've got my handy dandy notes. Week one, they were green 5x7 note cards. In week two, I've chosen purple. So purple it is, as we're off and running. And because producer Pete is on top of it, he has already posted the After Hours Monday MVP poll.
That's right.
As we will bid farewell to a Sunday, but only after we get to everything that we can possibly jam into these next 4 hours. As we usher in your Monday, we will have this poll available for you. Now, there are always more than four candidates, always. But the idea is to be a conversation starter. So I'm retweeting, but you can find it at Amy After Hours. I see some of you already casting your votes. It's now shared on mine as well at A-Law Radio. And then on our Facebook page, I'll get it up there as soon as I can. But it's, as I say, it's a little bit tumultuous in these early few minutes of the show. So here's what we have for you. We're going to start with Sunday Night Football, as always. Then we will welcome, as it turns out, second consecutive Sunday of having the play-by-play voice of the winning team join us. So last week it was Dan Miller, fresh off that Lions victory in their season opener on Sunday night. Now it is the Houston Texans. Home opener for Houston. And the victory, despite not having a ton of points in the second half. Well, not having a ton of points overall, actually. But it was still impressive to see that defense work with the addition of Danielle Hunter in hot pursuit of the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, sacking him not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven times. Seven sacks of Caleb Williams. And are you ready for this? Another 11 quarterback hits. Couple of interceptions, as well as general chaos and confusion. So that Bears defense, it was game. It was up for the challenge against Houston. CJ Stroud, that army of weapons. But the Texans defense really contained and corralled and limited what the Bears were able to do. And I think, too, in shortening the possessions that the Bears offense had, whether by turnover or forcing them to have to punt more quickly, the Bears defense was fairly tired by the fourth quarter, which then gave the advantage to the Texans. Although, again, no points in the third quarter, field goal each in the fourth quarter. So for those of you who watched all the way through to the end, we will make not a mountain out of a molehill, but we will turn the poo emoji into chocolate ice cream. Sometimes there is an argument about which it is. My kiddos on Sunday mornings at church, they will definitely go back and forth with you about whether or not it's a pile of poo or it's chocolate ice cream. And on that note, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. As I mentioned, online at A-Law Radio, plus our Facebook page. And the question I am posing to you, who is most embarrassing in week two? Who got embarrassed the most in week number two? Is it the Dallas Cowboys? Well, according to Dak Prescott, it was really a media impression or a media implementation. I like that word. That put the Cowboys in such a positive light after week number one. In fact, someone dared to ask Dak Prescott about riding on a high. Well, he shot that down pretty quickly. But were the Cowboys most embarrassed? Most embarrassing, either one of those things. At home, in their opener at AT&T Stadium against the New Orleans Saints and Derek Carr. And Alvin Kamara, and a defense that gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points. Would it be the Baltimore Ravens? Number one seed in the AFC last playoff season. And a bug that's come back to bite these Ravens. How often did we see it last year? Coughing up late leads. For some reason, the last couple years, really, the inability to protect late leads, almost inexplicably. Well, they coughed up a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter at home against the Raiders. And you don't have to tell the Raiders twice, they were 10-point underdogs in this game. Because believe you me, they were thinking about it and were motivated by it. But the Ravens fall to 0-2 for the first time in 9 years. Was that the most embarrassing performance? Who else was humiliated in week number two? How about the Panthers? I think it's safe to say they are, if not the undisputed basement dweller of the NFL, worst team in the league, the team that people will jump on right away and say, they're not going to win a game. Well, it's, I think, even harder to go winless than it is to go undefeated. I suppose that's my opinion. I can back it up, though. But the Panthers aren't going to have a lot of wins unless something drastically changes. So is it the Panthers, or do you just not care? Is this fairly typical for them? How about the Broncos? In Russell Wilson's return to Denver, the Steelers locker room, actually even post-game, maybe we can find some of this audio, but the Steelers locker room was defending Russ post-game and talking about how the Broncos gave him a, quote, petty game ball for his time in Denver after how they treated him. And even though Russ isn't playing, Justin Fields starting his second straight week for the injured Russ, Russ was back there in Denver. They made some show of celebrating him. Mostly, though, I can imagine Russ is grateful that he was set free, if you will. Hashtag free Russell Wilson. The Steelers got another win in large part because of their defense, though Justin Fields did actually have a touchdown in this one, unlike week number one. But here are some interesting numbers for Sean Payton. Since Russell Wilson got benched, remember late last season, in favor of Jarrett Stidham, right? Before the Broncos benched Russell Wilson last season, Denver was averaging nearly 22 points per game. So that's with Russ. And I know he wasn't terrific, and I know he's been limited, but 22 points per game is better than what they've averaged since, 14 points per game. So are the Broncos and Sean Payton most embarrassed on this Sunday? Or maybe it's the Niners. Without Christian McCaffrey, another week. In fact, he's been put on IR, so we won't see him this first month at least. They go on the road to Minnesota. Rough day. Rough day at the office. A blocked punt, a pair of failed fourth downs, a 97-yard touchdown relinquished from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson, and that was just the first half. A couple of interceptions by Brock Purdy. One of them got tipped twice, which is kind of interesting. And even without Justin Jefferson for most of the second half, the Niners can't figure it out in the red zone. Brock Purdy is sacked a half dozen times. So even though Jordan Mason goes over 100 yards, they fall to the Vikings. Oh, don't look now, but Minnesota's 2-0. So who is most embarrassing in this week two of the NFL? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. We'll also put up a couple posts on Facebook when I can get to them, I promise. Sunday Night Football. Texans hosting the Bears, and CJ Stroud with a roster full of offensive weapons.
Stroud in the gun on 2nd and 24. Here's the snap. CJ looking. CJ firing downfield. Hits Nico. 10, 5 to the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. A flag on the play.
Man, that's weight room right there, baby.
So, yes, the Bears did find the end zone. And that was a sweet play. Just scratching the surface of what they can do with their offense. They've got so many guys that he can throw to. So, as you can imagine, it's going to be a challenge to keep everyone happy and involved. But Nico Collins, 8 catches, 135 yards, and that score. Stephon Diggs with 4 catches. Dalton Schultz with a couple. Joe Mixon with 3 before he went out injured. No, he did come back. So Tank Dell was kind of the odd man out, though he had a few carries. But Houston
able to build a slight lead. Couple of field goals there in the fourth quarter or the second quarter as well, including a 59-yarder from Kaimi Fairbairn late in that first half. And then it was up to the defense. And boy, did the Houston Texans D harass Caleb Williams.
Second down and 15 from the Chicago 25-yard line. Williams in the gun, Swift to his right, two receivers each way. Caleb Williams gets the snap. Caleb Williams in trouble. And Danielle Hunter can't get him down. Williams escapes to the right, throws downfield, and intercepted by Lassiter. Runs upfield, 45, and he's out of bounds inside the 45-yard line. The rookie with his first INT. Fourth and 17 for the Bears from the Chicago 40. Williams shotgun. Here's the snap. Here's the rush. Williams with time. Guns it. Downfield right side. Incomplete. And the Texans take over on downs. They'll win on Sunday Night Football.
That's Mark Vandermeer, longtime radio voice of the Houston Texans. He will join us following the break because the Texans used the defense and the pressure on Caleb Williams, and they withstand a pretty rough second half of their own. So credit the Bears defense. We know the Bears D and special teams, a big reason why they won their opener last week. Now, there was a lot that you could say was ugly about this Texans win. Really not able to run the ball effectively. A dozen penalty flags for 115 yards. But unlike the rest of the AFC South, the Texans start out 2-0.
It's just about winning, right? One week at a time is, and they're not always going to be pretty. But you just have to find a way to win, and that's what I'm most proud about with our guys. Like, no matter what happened near the end, we found a way to win. With all the penalties, all of the negative plays, like, we were able to gut out a win, and that's what this league is about.
I mean, 0-2 is a lot worse than 2-0, so, you know, I'm definitely grateful, definitely, you know, blessed to be playing this great game. But, you know, it's definitely a lot of things we can clean up. I think around the league you can see that, though, you know what I mean? A lot of sloppy ball, you know, some teams playing better than others. But I definitely know that, you know, Texan football was not what we put on the field today. But, you know, at least in the second half, we'll definitely be better for sure.
What do we hear from coaches and general manager types, front office guys, even quarterbacks will say, it's a heck of a lot easier and a heck of a lot more enjoyable to get better, to work on your craft, to watch tape and see the mistakes, but know what you have to do when you're winning. It's a lot more enjoyable after a win. And so, yes, they are 2-0. And strangely enough, only team in the AFC South to have a victory. As for the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, he was harassed and he was mad after the game. He goes 23 of 37 for 174 yards. Okay, that's maudlin. Couple of picks, 7 sacks, 11 quarterback hits. So yeah, you can imagine he's going to be sore on Monday, but also kind of cranky.
Not coming out with a win, not executing, you know, when we needed to as a team. You know, myself throwing 2 interceptions. It's not something that I've done. Something that I do is turn the ball over. It's not really my, you know, my thing.
Turning the ball over is not really my thing. I can imagine no quarterback wants it to be his thing. That'd actually be kind of a funny question to put out there on the show. For which quarterbacks in the league is throwing touchdowns their or throwing interceptions their thing? So this was definitely a grinder on Sunday Night Football, especially in the second half. Both those Caleb Williams picks came after the break. And as I say, a bunch of sacks. Texans themselves struggled to move the ball, also turned it over. Cam Akers had a fumble. But early on, have you noticed how many kickers are the MVPs for their teams? Kaimi Fairbairn, he definitely was the MVP of this one. Along with, as I say, that Texans defense was fierce. Who is the After Hours Monday MVP? Because, sadly, we're heading into a Monday. We've given you 4 options. We'd love to hear from you. You can obviously reply with your own write-in vote on our Facebook page, too. We're just getting started. So much to do. Mark Vandermeer will join us from Houston coming up next as the Texans move to 2-0. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Third down at 16 from the Bears 40. Williams in the gun. Back to pass. Fires left sideline and intercepted. Stingley's got it. The Texans with the takeaway. Derek Stingley Jr., he's at it again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Houston defense stymies Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. A pair of interceptions in the second half plus 7 sacks. Man, he's going to be black and blue. But welcome to the NFL, rookie. That's Mark Vandermeer with the Texans Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And really excited to talk with you about the NFL Week 2. We also have an update on Tua Tagovailoa after his concussion on Thursday. We'll get to that coming up. But right now, we're pleased to welcome the longtime radio voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, joining us from H-Town. Well, Mark, there was a lot of defense in this one. Defense dominating, really, for both teams. How would you describe this victory for the Texans?
In the NFL, these things tend to come down to the wire. And I thought going into this one, you don't want to make it a situation where Caleb Williams has the ball late with a chance to win. But that's exactly what it turned out to be. And I've kind of semi-nicknamed this team the H-Town Heart Stoppers because they do it to us a lot. They had a lot of these types of games last year where they needed a big stop or a big drive to win. And here they were again needing a big stop at the end of the game. And they got it 4th and 17. Bears don't make it, and the Texans come away with a 2-0 start for the first time in 8 years. So any which way you could get that done, I thought was going to be good. I know it's Sunday Night Football. You want to put on a big show, whatever. Look, it's a win. You got it. You move on. Now you face a 2-0 Minnesota team.
In the second half, there weren't a lot of points. However, the defense really started dominating, really on both sides, some great defensive plays. But how did you see the Texans put pressure on the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams?
Well, he got out of a lot of pressure situations, too. I think a lot of other quarterbacks, you know, they sacked him 7 times, but I think it could have been 8, 9 with a bunch of different quarterbacks in there, different types of quarterbacks. But Williams is so slippery, able to get out of trouble time and time again. They want to get pressure with their front four. Everybody does. I know that. But they would send 5 from time to time, and that really kind of made the difference. And it was jailbreak on several occasions. And Williams was still able to wiggle out of trouble sometimes, but they got to him. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, who's seen him or seen the Bears plenty of times as a member of the NFC North. And I just think that they're getting good play from the interior. Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi, that was the talk of the offseason. Were you going to be able to replace Malik Collins, Sheldon Rankins? Well, they have, because they're very effective against the run so far in these first two games, and they want to keep that going.
I'm glad you mentioned Danielle Hunter. He was a captain for a long time with the Minnesota Vikings. What has he meant to this defense so far?
You know, it's funny with him because in the playoff win they had at home against the Browns last year, Hunter came to the game. He's from Houston, and he came to the game as a fan, really, as a spectator, and he really loved the atmosphere. He ends up signing with the Texans, obviously, and to see him go off like this in his hometown was really special, and you hope for a lot more of it. He's one of the many leaders on this team, Amy. When you look up and down the roster defensively, you already had Jimmy Ward here from last year. You bring in Azeez Al-Shaair, who's basically like a D'Amico Ryan's clone as far as personality and the effect he has on his teammates, and several other guys. I mean, I don't want to leave people out, but they're all playing well together. I think these guys genuinely enjoy each other. They like to be around each other. And I think it makes a difference when you're trying to win games late, especially. D'Amico Ryan's has created the kind of atmosphere here that people want to be a part of, whether you're a player or an assistant coach.
And I heard Will Anderson say in an interview following the game on Westwood One, now he's 23 years old, that Hunter has meant so much to him already because of what he's learning from the veteran, but also because of how much energy he brings on defense.
He brings a ton of energy. Now, when you interview Hunter...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're not exactly getting the Howard Stern show, right? He's kind of a quiet guy, but his play is loud. It speaks for itself. And he runs sideline to sideline. He runs like a linebacker. The guy's amazing from the edge. And, you know, Will Anderson Jr. is off to such a terrific start in his career. He just fits in with everybody. You know, Will can fit in any group, any situation. And, you know, this locker room, like I said, is very tight, and Hunter's a part of it.
We're excited to have Mark Vandermeer on the show for the first time this season. Longtime radio play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. Starting out 2-0 after getting this victory on Sunday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So much is made of the weapons around C.J. Stroud. I know they weren't able to run the ball as much against the Bears defense. But where do you see the greatest growth in him from the time he showed up in Houston?
The greatest growth, you know, it didn't happen immediately in training camp last year or in the preseason games. You saw flashes, but by week two in the second half against the Colts last year, you saw him really start to connect with people and make some throws that indicated that he was not just a rookie, that he had a wisdom beyond his years on and off the field. And I think, you know, when I look at growth, you just want to see the evolution. You want to see him continue to get better and recognize that people are going to start giving him different looks, try to confuse him. I don't think they've really been successful at it yet. Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, told him last year, hey, it's not going to happen in year two. It's happening already. You're seeing different stuff. So it was happening as the year was progressing last year, having maybe the greatest rookie passing season ever. I know not yardage total-wise, but just effectiveness and what he did with with the team and bringing them to the playoffs and winning a playoff game. And now you're off to a 2-0 start. He played great last week. He played well enough this week. I know they weren't perfect. Like you said, they didn't run the ball as well as last week at all. But they got the job done when they needed to. That turnover inside the five was really costly because the Bears converted that into points, and all of a sudden it's a one-score game again when you're about to run away with it. Like I said, they've been in many of these situations, and he's always calm, cool, collected. And I just believe that you're looking at a five-year veteran here who's an elite player more than you're looking at a second-year quarterback and a guy you're wishing would just develop. He's already developing. He's already well on his way, and it's fun to be a part of it.
What do we know about Joe Mixon after this game?
Joe came back into the game after getting his ankle or whatever it was injured, and it was great to see him come back. And one thing I wonder is if you had to run the ball, if you were behind, how would you have handled the situation? Because Joe Mixon is a three-down back. You can use him on any down. He's going to be effective. I don't know how effective with the ankle, but we didn't really have to find out much. So this week, I'm sure they'll be waiting to see, and I presume it's the ankle, waiting to see how he does as we progress here, because you definitely want him next week in Minnesota. They went without Damian Pierce tonight. Cam Akers looked good. He was their leading rusher tonight, but he had the fumble. So I don't know how they're going to handle it, but they'll handle it somehow, Amy.
There are some veterans that have been inserted into this lineup. Stephon Diggs, really the headline maker in the offseason. Where does he fit in with the other guys?
I think he fits in great. He likes being around these guys. He's such a teammate. They're always yucking it up, and they're always talking ball, but you just feel like it's a great camaraderie they have. I think Diggs, there's no doubt he's going to be effective as the season goes on. I know tonight was not exactly a bonanza of passing yards for everybody, but Nico Collins is the guy. He's back-to-back games for over 100 yards. He catches his first touchdown tonight. Diggs had two touchdowns last week. They're spreading the ball around. They haven't even gotten Tank Dell going the way they're going to, because you know he'll be heard from. So they've got weapons galore, Amy. I mean, Dalton Schultz has not done much yet, but it's not like basketball where you expect somebody to take the ball and score it. You know, he's got to get thrown the football in key situations, and there's so many different places for C.J. Stroud to go with the ball that you understand that not everybody's going to have a career year this year. It just feels like it's going to be hard to do. Last week, I felt like everybody had a good game. Tonight, it was a little harder to get against the Bears, but you expected this from the Bears. Matt Eberflus can coach defense. They've got good players. Those linebackers are vicious, and the Bears got after it. So you got the 19 points, and you got the win.
What else stands out to you about the offense and how it might be able to generate more yards, more points as they move forward through the season?
Anytime you can run the ball better, that's going to help your cause. I think with Fairbairn, it enables them to think, all right, we can get to the outer rings of Saturn and get three at least. And that does affect a team's play-calling mentality. You know, he's the first kicker in NFL history to have three from beyond 50. I think it was five from beyond 50 in the first two games, and now he's 7 for 7, six of them from 50-plus. The short one is 47. So that's what kind of year it's been for him so far. I think he's one of the MVPs here because you look at the margins. They won by 2 in week 1. They win by 6 tonight. Where would they be without this place kicker, right? So I love seeing it. I think that he's a valuable weapon. You know they want to do more. And you mentioned how are they going to do more. I think it'll happen. Coach Boone said, and remember the Titans, it's like Novocaine. Give it time, except this is over the course of several weeks. Give it time. The offense will come around. This is no easy task. We all know that. The NFL, you know, you look around. I always tell fans, look around the league. This is hard. Look, you know, the Chiefs had to do everything possible to get a win and go to 2-0 today. Texans, same thing. They go to 2-0, and they'll take it from here.
How excited is the fan base coming off of last year's AFC South title and the success in the playoffs?
They're super pumped up. The expectations are sky high. I haven't heard all the immediate reaction yet to this game, and I'm wondering if people think, well, they should have won by more, should have, could have, would have, or whatever, but you win, and that's all that matters, and you win in a variety of ways. If you're capable of doing that, you can go far in this league. If your defense is capable of holding an opponent to 13 points, you can do a lot of business in this league. So the fans look, they're sky high for this team. They are so pumped up. D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud, those two alone, what Nick Caserio has been able to do. The McNairs have never been more popular. Cal and Hannah out in the parking lots before the game, they were mobbed by people. They just wanted to go out to a tailgate and have a nice time. Well, they just got a crowd around them that was unbelievable. So the times are good right now, and you want to keep rolling with those good times, and the way to do that is to keep winning. And I think they've got the tools to do it here. D'Amico's culture is fantastic, and that's a big contribution to the winning effort.
Mark Vandermeer is with us following Sunday Night Football. Texans out to a 2-0 start and already have a big jump on the AFC South. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Mark, you had a chance to see the Colts last weekend. No other team in the division has a win yet. What's your reaction to that?
That's a surprise to me. I was surprised the Colts weren't able to do more against Green Bay, and I got to give Matt LaFleur a ton of credit because he got Malik Willis ready today. It wasn't like he had to throw for 300 or something, but he was effective. He did the job for them. Their defense played great, and I think the Colts, they're so talented, Amy, but defensively they've given up over 200 yards rushing in each of their first two games, which is so not them. With that front they have with Buckner and Grover Stewart, those guys on the edge, I know they had injuries, but that surprised me a lot today about what Green Bay did to them. Jacksonville, the Browns' defense was eating today. I mean, they were fantastic, and Jacksonville had trouble scoring, even though the Browns didn't do much on offense, didn't matter, and the Titans are just a work in progress. Will Levis, you know, I worked with John Harris and Andre Ware in the air. They call it the Will Levis experience because you're going to get a little bit of everything. You're going to get some amazing throws, runs, and some picks and things like that, and fumbles or whatever. So he's still learning, and it's tough. You know, it's tough to learn with these young quarterbacks. You'd rather learn while winning like the Texans are, but Stroud is he's at another level, and you just don't know until you know with a lot of these players till they get to this pro level. Are they going to be able to perform, and are they going to improve week to week like Stroud has? And that's made a big difference, obviously, as opposed to some of the other teams with young quarterbacks.
The early part of the Texans' schedule now features a road game at the Vikings, but then home to the Jaguars and the Bills before they hit the road again. What do you think?
There's a good opportunity, but a lot of people thought, well, the Bears, you know, you're big favorites, you should do fine. Well, look what happens, right? You're playing these teams, and like I said, look around the league, upsets happen all the time. Who had the Raiders going into Baltimore and winning? Who had the Saints winning as big as they did after what the Cowboys did last week? You just don't know until you know. So, you know, going to Minnesota, I think it's tough. We had Darnold here 3 years ago when he was a Panther, and that was when he got off to that hot early start with Carolina, and he looked like the kind of player the Jets hoped he would be when they drafted him in 2018, and now he's looking like that again for the Vikings here in 2024. You know, this could be another situation like tonight or the Sunday night game, and maybe even last week we had a 2-point win and it's a very close game late. You hope you either hang on or come away with a winning drive. This could be very close with the Vikings in their building. I know they have injury issues, Justin Jefferson, etc. And with the Jags, with division games, I don't care what the record is. Those things always seem to be close because they know you, you know them. Everybody hates each other, and it's a lot of fun.
Yes, those are the games that we look forward to. We relish them. You can find Mark Vandermeer online at Texans Voice. How many years, Mark?
I've done every Texans game ever.
I feel like that should be in the Guinness Book of World Records. The only voice the Texans have ever had.
You know, it's funny. Somebody told me I'm the only voice in football, basketball, baseball in this country that's called every game his team has played. But that's because we're so young. That's part of it. You know, the Panthers and Jags are a little bit older than we are, but they've had changes. So I'm just blessed to be here, and I love doing what I do. You know, it's great to be a part of it.
Well, it's a good season to jump on board with the Texans and with Mark. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Good to catch up with you.
Thanks, Amy. Always a pleasure.
So the Texans start out 2-0. Nobody else in the division has a win. And we'll get to the Will Levis experience, the Titans hosting the Jets and Aaron Rodgers in Nashville on Sunday. A lot to talk about. We got to get to our update, and then we'll dive into, let's go Cowboys Saints. We'll save Chiefs Bengals for the top of the hour. We're asking, who was the most embarrassing, whether team, whether performance, who was the most embarrassing on this Sunday? At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football. The Texans beat the Bears 19-13. C.J. Stroud threw for 260 yards and a touchdown. Now to Kansas City, where the Chiefs trailed the Bengals 25-23 in the final seconds.
A 51-yarder officially to try to win it by Butker. Placement is down. Butker's kick. Leg through. It is high enough, and it is good! Kansas City! Harrison Butker, another clutch kick against the Bengals. And the Chiefs win it at the buzzer, 26-25.
Mitch Holthus on Chiefs radio. Elsewhere, Steelers over the Broncos 13-6. Cardinals 41, Rams 10. Commanders 21, Giants 18. Austin Seibert kicked 7 field goals, including the game-winning 30-yarder with no time left. Jets over the Titans 24-17, Browns 18, Jaguars 13, the Vikings over the Niners 23-17. In overtime, the Seahawks beat the Patriots 23-20, Packers 16, Colts 10, the Bucks over the Lions 20-16, the Saints ripped the Cowboys 44-19, Raiders over the Ravens 26-23, and the Chargers beat the Panthers 26-3. Baseball, Dodgers over the Braves 9-2, Mariners 7, Rangers nothing. In 10, Diamondbacks 11, Brewers 10, Astros 6, Angels 1, Guardians blank the Rays 2-0, White Sox 4, A's 3, Cubs over the Rockies 6-2. In 10, Padres 4, Giants 3, Blue Jays over the Cardinals 3-2, Pirates 4, Royals 3, Phillies beat the Mets 2-1, Nationals over the Marlins 4-3, Tigers 4, Orioles 2, the Twins over the Reds 9-2. Aaron Judge hit his 53rd home run. It was the Yankees over the Red Sox by a score of 5-2. College football, Texas, number one in the latest AP poll. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Parsons on the far side has Shaheed in front of him. Under center is Carr. Play action to Jamal Williams. He's looking deep, and he's throwing deep, and he's throwing for Shaheed. Shaheed makes the catch. 10, 5, Goose. See you later. Bye. No flags. 70 yards. You can be greedy, my friend, because it makes for a great touchdown. Carr, handoff, Kamara, left side, big hole. Needs a block to the outside. 10, 5. Alvin Kamara, touchdown again from 12 yards. However you want to do it, you want to throw it to him, you want to hand it to him. Boy, the left side of that line dominating that drive, and another touchdown for the Saints running the football.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I know people all over the country are asking, are these Saints for real? For real, for real? Oh, man. Well, after the week one shellacking of the Panthers, people were paying attention, but maybe not willing to give the Saints their due because, after all, it was Carolina. Well, how do you feel about the Saints now? How do you like them now going into AT&T Stadium and whooping up on the Dallas Cowboys? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Did Derek Carr discover the fountain of youth? That was my question early on in this game. Probably not long after he threw the deep ball to Rashid Shaheed again. A 70-yard touchdown catch over the top for Shaheed. That's his second deep one of the same fashion, same ilk in 2 weeks. 3 touchdowns for Alvin Kamara. And this is just halftime. They're up 35-16 at the half after 5 touchdowns in 5 possessions. Now, you may remember last week when they started against the Panthers, they scored on their first 9 possessions. So here they are again, New Orleans in Dallas, 5 touchdowns in a row to start the game. Yes, there were a couple of highlights for the Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb hauls in his first touchdown of the year. It was a 65-yarder. So he gets away from the defense, actually kind of a duck and a pivot underneath a pair of defenders who run into each other. So might have been more comical had it not been for the Cowboys getting their rear ends kicked. So yes, a 65-yarder for Lamb, but even at halftime, the Saints are already over 300 yards of offense. So Dallas manages a field goal to start the third quarter, but the Saints go right back to work. 70 yards, another 8-minute march, which puts that Dallas defense on its heels, and they go to their biggest weapon.
First and goal at the 7. Hand off Kamara, left side. Still on his feet, left side. He came out of the tunnel, and Alvin Kamara scores the touchdown. He went into the tunnel and popped out on the other side, left side of the end zone.
It's no surprise to me. I feel good, you know. I said, and I mean this, like, I feel like I can play until I feel like I don't want to play. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. It's fun. I feel like we're winning. I like being here. I like being around my teammates. I love the city. And just keep going. I'm 29. I guess I'm old in football years, but I don't feel old.
Alvin ends up with 180 total yards, most of those on the ground, 4 touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys. And the fourth quarter defense, even if the game is out of reach for Dallas, New Orleans is able to stop the Cowboys in the red zone on a fourth down. And also, an interception of Dak Prescott by Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger, still roaming defensive secondaries around the league. So here are the final numbers for the offense. 432 yards. I couldn't help but think about the last time the Cowboys were at home and gave up this kind of offense to the Green Bay Packers in the first round of the playoffs last year. 432 yards of offense for the Saints, 4 of 5 in the red zone. Derek Carr didn't have to do a whole lot. Do you know he only threw 16 passes? Was 11 for 16, nearly 250, the 3 total touchdowns. And this victory, with authority, ends the Dallas home win streak in the regular season. So it was technically ended by the Packers in January, but their home win streak in the regular season was at 16. That is no more. And as you can imagine, this is one of those games where you hope to find, well, there's plenty to find. You hope to figure it out quickly, watch the tape, flush it, move forward, because it was not pretty.
You need adversity games like this. You definitely don't want to ever perform like this. They played well. Give them credit. But yeah, I think like all of us, you know, we're disappointed with our performance today.
The big lesson here is you can get to thinking you've got it figured out way too early in the game. We're 1-1, and we've got to learn, and this group right here has got to learn from what they experienced out there today.
Both Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones. So would you say the Cowboys had the most embarrassing performance in week number 2? Producer Pete has used one of my favorite GIFs. I probably could use it a couple times a week. It's so fitting in sports, or really for fans, not just athletes or teams, but Homer shrinking back into the hedge. If you know what I'm talking about, well, you go check it out. And while we're talking about this game, Alvin Kamara with a solid resume for Monday MVP. He is one of our candidates. You can go check out the others. Both of those found at Amy After Hours on Twix or on our Facebook page. As for Dennis Allen, he doesn't need any more proof that Derek Carr still got it.
I think he's been freed up a little bit in terms of not having to control every single thing on the line of scrimmage. He's able to really go out there and play. You know, quarterbacks tend to play better when you're able to run the football effectively. And our offensive line has done a good job of protecting him. And I think that's always been the case, is I feel like when Derek is able to be protected, then he's pretty good at throwing the football.
So the Saints are 2-0, as are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who we'll get to next hour. We had talked potentially about the NFC South being a lot stronger this season. And right now, we've got those two teams at the top. I know the Falcons have yet to play. That'll come up on Monday night. The Carolina Panthers, well, okay, maybe they are the Achilles heel, the basement dweller. No, you can't kick them out of the division. So take our poll. Also, who was the most embarrassing in this week two Sunday? Wow, it's in the rearview mirror. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.